Disability insurance. Disability insurance is designed to replace income that is lost due to a short-term or a permanent disability. If you're in here right now, you have a 1 in 3 chance of becoming disabled for 6 months or more at some time in your life. That's a pretty strong chance. As a matter of fact, if you're in here and you're 30, you're way more likely to become disabled by 65 than to die, statistically. And yet this is probably the most underinsured area of the major points of insurance in a good financial plan. You've got to get disability insurance. Try buying disability insurance that pays if you cannot perform the job that you were trained or educated to do. That is called occupational or ONOC disability. Now, in the last few years, ONOC disability rates have gone way up, and one way you can limit that, and the best way to buy it, is to get ONOC for 2 years. After that, not ONOC. Now, what that would mean is, I speak for a living, I do radio for a living. If I lost my voice, I would not be able to, now I might be completely able-bodied except for my voice, I would be unable to do my job, right? Now, if I had a 2-year ONOC plan, I couldn't do my own occupation, and for 2 years they would pay me. After that, they'd be going, get a job. Unless I was completely disabled, and if I was completely disabled, then I couldn't do any job, then it would still cover from then on, much less my job. And voice disability would not qualify in that case. So if I was in a bad car wreck, in a wheelchair or something like that, that kind of a thing, then it would pay me all the way out. But if I just couldn't do something that my job, that's for 2 years. And that's many times the way this is set up. Beware of short-term policies covering less than 5 years. Here's the situation. Longer than 5 years is called long-term disability. Shorter than 5 years is called short-term disability. Do not buy short-term disability. The short-term disability is covered by your emergency fund and getting out of debt and having a plan. It's the long-term disability that'll kill you. If you got this 15-year thing where you can't earn an income, that's huge for your family. You can make it a couple of years and figure out with your emergency fund how to get through things if you have a good 3 to 6 months of expenses. We know we can make it 6 months anyway. And so long-term disability is the only thing that I own, and it's the only thing I recommend. But you've got to get it. I'll never forget, I was doing a book signing not long ago, and this young man, 28 years old, came up to me in the book line. And he said, I know I don't look like it, but he said, I have a condition, and he named this thing as long as a car. And he said, I'm completely unable to work. I am completely disabled. And because I was listening to you, because I went through your class, I had long-term disability. He said, I have 3 kids. I'm 28 years old. I used to make $100,000 a year, and now I don't make a dime. And this insurance policy is paying me $65,000 a year. And Dave, you know, the stuff you taught me, because I went and did it, it saved my kids. It saved my family. We didn't lose our home. We haven't lost anything. And he said, you wouldn't believe what we've been through. And he told me the whole story about the medical, and it was bizarre. But it really made me stop and think, if a young guy, 28 years old, if that's the case, man, you got to get this stuff. Now, let me tell you, long-term disability, just out in the open market, just going shopping, can be very expensive. And it is based on not as much your health or you know, your age like some insurance is. It's based more on what you do, the type of work you do. If you're doing something where you're doing something with your hands in a blue-collar setting, it's going to be more expensive than if you're flying a desk. Okay, and so you got to think through this stuff. If you're in an office working environment, in other words, it's going to be less than if you're out here handling power equipment because you're more likely to be disabled. I mean, if you're a high-rise window washer, just forget it. They don't want you. Okay, but it's life insurance there anyway. That disability won't even apply. You know, so you know, that's the kind of thing they look at, is the occupational classification. And out in the open market, you're going to find this to be very, very expensive. But in some cases, it makes sense. The best way to get disability insurance is if they furnish it at your work, obviously, and you don't have to pay for it. That's wonderful. But if they give you the opportunity to buy it in group through work, it's usually the cheapest there is. It's a great buy. Buy it. If they offer it at work, buy it. It's almost always the best deal. If they don't offer it at work in any way, you can't get it, try something through a trade association. If you're a home builder, talk to the Home Builders Association. If you're a realtor, talk to the realtors and see. You know, sometimes trade groups will come together and offer group disability that way. And again, it'll be cheaper than just going to your insurance agent. But anytime you're shopping insurance, you go to an independent insurance agent, let them shop among many, many, many different plans and different companies to get you the best possible deal. Your coverage with disability should be around 65% of your current income. Around 65% of your current income. The reason is that if you buy this with after-tax dollars, do not buy this with pre-tax dollars. Buy it with after-tax dollars. It's the only thing I'll ever tell you that about. Everything else you buy with pre-tax dollars. But if you buy it with pre-tax dollars, when you become disabled, your disability income's taxable. If you buy it with after-tax dollars, disability income's tax-free. So you want it to be tax-free. Buy it with after-tax dollars. And if that's the case, you can live on 65% of your old gross. If you used to gross $100,000 and you bring home $65,000, that's about what you were getting home with after taxes and Social Security anyway. It's a little less, but I mean, you were getting killed anyway by Washington. So you're operating just about on your take-home pay. You won't find it very often above 70%, and lots of places you'll find it to be 50% of your income. But a good rule of thumb is try to stay, don't panic, but try to stay in that 65% realm. Right now, it's so inexpensive that at this particular moment, I'm able to furnish it for my entire team. Everyone that works on our team, we buy it as a benefit. And it covers at 70% for 2 years of ONOC in that situation. But our higher income earners, it doesn't cover them. It doesn't cover anywhere near 70% of my income. It's limited, I think, to $100,000 or $150,000, and after that, it shuts down. 70% of that. And so if you got somebody making $300 or something like that, then it's not going to take you all the way up to that. The big thing here is just make sure you got food money and money to keep the lights on for an extended period of time. That's what this is for. Now, the elimination period in disability is the same as your deductible. It's the time between the disabling event. I'm disabled here. 30 days later, payments begin. I had a 30-day elimination period. The longer your elimination period, the more risk you take, the lower your premiums are. And so a 30-day elimination period is like a $250 deductible on your car. A 90-day is about like a $500 deductible on your car. A 180-day elimination would be like carrying a $1,000 deductible on your car. So you're taking 180 days, you're going to go 6 months of being disabled on your own, then it's going to start. Well, if you carry an emergency fund of 6 months, then you would be perfectly okay on that. So again, I'm willing to take some of those first dollar risks to keep my premiums down. I want them to catch the catastrophes. Are you seeing that theme all the way through the health insurance, through the disability insurance, through the auto and the homeowners? They catch the big stuff. I'll take the little stuff with my emergency fund and with my financial clean living, okay? And then you keep your premiums down and you get to use them for what they're for. Long-term care insurance is for nursing home, for assisted living facilities, and if you get a good policy, it's for in-home care. Now, how many of you in here are over 60 years old? Raise your hand. Good, just a few of you. Okay, how many of you have parents that are living that are over 65 years old? Raise your hand. See, the number one problem facing this next generation, statistically, is not how to pay for their kids' college. It's how to take care of their parents. That's what's coming. Financially, this is a huge, huge deal. I do not recommend long-term care insurance until you're 60. I do not recommend long-term care insurance until you're 60. The probability of a nursing home stay prior to 60 is almost zero. It's a rip. Don't buy it. At 60, on your 60th birthday, buy long-term care insurance immediately. Because it changes right there. The stats start shifting right there. I've studied this stuff for years. I am a huge proponent of this insurance because it's so expensive. See, here's what happens. Typically, 75% of you ladies will outlive your husbands. And so what happens is you work and you build up a nest egg of $300,000. And then Pop goes in the nursing home because most of you ladies outlive your husbands. And he stays there $30,000 to $50,000 to $70,000 a year, and he stays there 4 or 5 years. And he pretty much eats up the nest egg, passes away, grandma's here, she's in great shape, but she got no food money. We left her broke because the nest egg killed the goose that lays the golden eggs, cracked and scrambled the nest egg. And the nursing home knocked that out. And I'm not against nursing homes. I think nursing homes are just like anybody else. They ought to be paid if they provide a service. And if you're buying a nursing home service, I don't know why you think you shouldn't have to pay them. You ought to have to pay them. If the ambulance comes and picks you up, you ought to have to pay for the ambulance. If you buy a car, you ought to have to pay for a car. Why is this hard? You know, so I'm not mad at the nursing home people. Some of them do a better job than others, just like any other industry. But the nursing home will crack and scramble your nest egg. And so have long-term care insurance in place to take care of that. It's not that expensive. The problem is that you have to have this, well, with your parents, you have to sit down and talk to them about it. Now that you've seen this lesson, you have to have the talk. And your parents probably aren't going to want to listen to you about money. Because when you're discussing money stuff with your parents, you face the powdered butt syndrome. The powdered butt syndrome is once someone has powdered your butt, they really don't want your opinion on money or sex. And so when you go to sit down and say, Mom and Dad, we're going to talk, they say, right, you got something to tell me. But you know, the problem is if they don't get this long-term care insurance or they don't allow you to get it for them, if you're financially able, then we could be talking about a $300,000 or $400,000 mistake. I had a friend of mine not long ago, 62 years old, call me up. I had a long conversation with him when he was 62. His wife was 65 at the time. And he said, Dave, these guys trying to sell me this long-term care. What do you think about this long-term care? I don't even think it's an insurance ripoffs. I said, it's not an insurance ripoff. You need to buy it. You need to buy it right now. And this guy has, I don't know, he's probably got $700,000-$800,000 cash. And he's got some real estate, an old family farm. It's probably worth another $500,000 or so, right? So they've got some assets, but they're not just filthy rich, right? They're doing pretty good, though. He's a millionaire in terms of net worth. And literally, he didn't buy it because it was an insurance ripoff. And he didn't go buy it like I told him to. I don't know why he asked my opinion if he wasn't going to take it. I mean, it wasn't a radio call. I spent 20 minutes talking to him, trying to get him to do it. He still didn't do it. Sad thing was, about a year after I had that discussion with him, his 65-year-old wife, in perfect physical condition, begins the first stages of Alzheimer's. An Alzheimer's patient at that age, in that kind of physical condition, it's not unusual at all for her to live 15 years. And a lot of that, she'll need care. And so he made probably a $300,000 or $400,000, maybe a $500,000 mistake by not listening to me. I really wish I'd talked him into it, but now I'm just having to watch this unfold. 69% of you out there will spend some time in need of long-term care after age 65. Let me have 10 people stand up right here, beginning with you, ma'am. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 10 people sitting there. Would you three sit down, please? Yes, sir, that would be you too. Thank you. Okay. That's 7 out of 10 of you will need long-term care. Now, I'm not saying this anytime soon, y'all. You're all looking pretty good, okay? So have a seat. Give them a hand, all right? The last 6 months of your life could be more expensive than any decade of your life. You have to be ready with health insurance and long-term care insurance. It is the most expensive time of your life, is the last 6 months of your life. And you can't hide assets. I'm just going to move all the stuff out of Daddy's name so that we can get the government to pay for it. That is called a federal crime. Okay? Because when the government pays for nursing home, that's under the Medicaid plan, that's welfare, which is designed for people who don't have any money. When you transfer assets out of your name to act like you don't have any money to get the government to pay for your stuff, that's fraud. It's criminal fraud, and they will prosecute you on this issue. They are big time tough, and they can look back 36 months on some types of assets and as far as back 60 months, 5 years on you moving stuff around to hide it so you can get mom and dad on the welfare plan instead of mom and dad on the long-term care insurance plan. And so, by the way, if you're in that situation and you can't get long-term care, you've waited too late and Medicaid is what you're facing. Right now, the spouse is allowed to keep $79,000, allowed to keep a house, and allowed to keep a car. Everything else has to have gone to pay for nursing home before you qualify for Medicaid. So don't even look at, I mean, I don't want to retire on Social Security, and I don't want Medicaid taking care of me if I need care in a nursing home. Buy the right kind of financial planning tools like long-term care insurance. This is absolutely vital. Identity theft protection. We told you in Credit Sharks in Suits that now 15 million people this year have had their identity stolen. It's the fastest growing white-collar crime in North America today. And when you have your identity stolen, you will spend an average of 600 hours trying to get that mess cleaned up. You don't owe any money, and I told you in that lesson how not to pay any money and how to fight it through. But you're going to spend an average of 600 hours cleaning up your mess. So I recommend this type of protection, identity theft protection. Don't buy ID theft protection that only provides credit report monitoring. Crud, you can do that on your own. You're allowed to pull your own credit bureau once a year free anyway. So you don't need to have somebody else pay somebody else for that opportunity. Don't do that stuff. And a lot of that stuff's coming in your credit card statements. A lot of the credit bureau companies are offering it now, that kind of thing. I do recommend you buy it, and I own identity theft protection on me that includes restoration services that assign a counselor to go clean up the mess. See, the problem is not that you're going to owe money. The problem is you've got a new hobby. You're going to have to deal with the fraud victim division with a bunch of credit card companies, and you're going to have to go through all this mess to clean up stuff that you don't owe through no fault of your own. And so I like the idea of having someone take my case, go do this for me. They go fight with the bank. They go fight with the credit card company and clean up the mess for me. That's the way you want to do identity theft protection.